Amen. Yes. Come on up, Robert. I need a volunteer. Get that young man there in that that bright orange jacket, Robert. There you go. We can see him. And we don't stand on formality around here. Or stand on ceremony, however they say it. Amen. Come on up front. Come on up front. That's okay. No. You're doing good. You're doing good. That's right. It's okay, man. We're happy. Hey, your shoestrings match your shirt. Man. I'm not much on, you know, being sharp, but that's sharp. Everybody loves a sharp-dressed man. Amen. Father, we just thank you for you. I don't even know what else to say, but we thank you, Lord. Father, you've been a river of provision in our lives since the day we drew breath. And we keep drawing breath because you're a giver, Father. And Lord, I pray over all of these families and all of the families that they represent. Lord, that they'll be blessed going in and blessed going out. That every bit of their lives will be an abundant harvest of your love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, guys. You can receive the offering. Amen. We don't take an offering. We receive an offering, right? Isn't that what they say? So funny how many times I've been in an offering and it felt like I was being taken. But anyway, there's a word we got today. Jesus says, victory has been gained. You are where I put you. That's good, isn't it? Stop comparing your life to others. I have special plans just for you. The ones you're comparing to have different plans for their lives. So there's no comparison. Accept what you have and where I have put you. Jeremiah 29:11. Remember, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Wow. That's something, huh? That's a good word. Amen. Has anybody seen a redheaded Sister Karen? Come on down, girl.
I forgot to warn him to quit saying that. Yeah. That's good. Oh, okay. Woo! I'm telling you what, y'all. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel the glory of the presence of the Lord stronger and stronger and stronger every week in this place. And I really believe it's from Thursday night prayer and worship. I don't know. But I'm sure you can get this in other churches in Mountain View. But oh my goodness, do you realize what we have? Do you realize what we're drinking in, what we're breathing in this atmosphere where he is welcome to do whatever he wants to do? Sing a new song through someone out there. Thank you. Thank you for surrendering to that. Thank you for pressing in with us. I don't want religion. I don't want some religious service or practice. I want him. I want a touch from the Spirit of God. Not just here, but every day. And we got that this morning, a big old drink of water. A big old drink. I feel like I've been getting a big old drink, y'all. We've got to tap into every day realizing who we are. And being directed by this presence just like he was there leading Moses by the fire and by the cloud. He's on the inside of us. And you can hear him. And you can follow him into every aspect of your life. And I'm so thankful for this church that makes a place where we can just worship unashamed, however we want. Two things we got this morning that I'm not sure that was, but for one, I'm pretty sure we're the only church that had a pastor quote ZZ Top this morning, and at least in Mountain View with his sharp dressed van. I was like, that's ZZ Top. Brought me right back to my teenage days. You know, God loves to have fun. He loves joy. Anything that makes us laugh, have joy. He's so good. All the time. Even when it doesn't look like it. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when it doesn't feel like it. I've thrown down with him several times over my life. I'm sure he just does like I used to do with my kids when they were throwing temper tantrums. Just back away for a little while. Check on them. Laugh. How many of you ever laughed at one of your children having a temper tantrum? I am sure God has laughed at me lots of times. Because that's who he is. Abba. Abba, Father. Father. He's so good. Anyway, Pastor is continuing this morning with the content of the heart. And then we will be starting a new series next week. Arise, the journey to resurrection. And he will be doing the journey to resurrection all of March and all of April. And we will have bringvitations, the little bringvitations that we hand out. I'll have some for you next week if you want to invite people. Right after church, as soon as service is over, we'll dismiss and let those that are not members of your member, like, come on. Our friend back there who's the sharp-dressed man has been here 3 weeks and he was an usher today. That's how it is, right? Jesus don't put stipulations and boxes on us. He loves us all. And when you come in and you plug in and you want to be a part, you're part. That's who you are. But we do have a formal membership. And so for the formal membership, there is a business meeting right after service this morning. Tuesday and Wednesday, Jamie Englehart is going to be here from Indiana. He's in Tennessee this week and he's this weekend and he's traveling over to us on Tuesday night and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And I put a post on there yesterday. I don't know who saw it, but if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you want to know. This man is amazing. He has been our friend for 20 something years. He has blown up so many religious boxes for me. Some that I said, nope, I'm keeping my box. I don't know about this. But over time, the Lord unpacks things. And Jamie is a freedom fighter. He fights for the freedom of God's people, that they will know the truth and the truth will set them free. It's the truth you know. And there's been a lot taught in church by Jamie, by Tommy, by I, that really wasn't true. We didn't know because we were just preaching what we knew. We were preaching what some other preacher told us and what they preached, what some other preacher taught them. But when you go digging for yourself, see, that's one thing too in this church. Go find for yourself. Go study for yourself. Go look it up. You don't agree? Go find it. Go study it. It's okay. Jamie is one of those people that will set you ablaze with hunger for truth and freedom. And so he will be here Tuesday night and Wednesday night, the 25th and 26th, as this coming week at 7 o'clock. And we hope you'll join us. And because we will be having two added services, we will not have encounter worship Thursday night. And so, but on other Thursdays at 7 p.m. we meet in here and we soak. That's all we do. We put on worship and we just press in. We pray on our own and we listen to the Holy Spirit for our lives. We write down things God gives us if we're writing. Last week we had Fred here, who's an artist, and under the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit in soaking in worship, he was drawing. And so you're welcome to join us on Thursdays here at 7 o'clock. All of our announcements are on Facebook and our website, arisechurch.cc. If you forget some of those in the middle of the week, you can look those up. You ready?
Hey, man, open your Bibles up to 2 Kings chapter 22. Well, you guys all right? I'm good. Thanks for asking. Somebody thought it. Anyway. Amen. 2 Kings. I've never preached on this character today. I taught about him a little bit during the Wednesday nights once in a while, but Never on a Sunday morning has King Josiah darkened the door. I may have mentioned him because he's in 2 Kings 22 where you are, in 23, and in 2 Chronicles 34. And it's a little fun, just a side note, it's a little fun to read Chronicles and Kings kind of parallel, because one guy has something different to say than the other guy. Like for instance, like last week we had David and Bathsheba, right? Everybody remember? And David, you know, I gave David a hard time, but you know, David's just like all of us, especially. So let's give David a break. And I completely forgot what I was going to say. Yes, different versions. Thank you. Chronicles, he doesn't mention the incident with Bathsheba whatsoever. Mm-mm. Isn't that funny? Kings, he goes all into it, right? Samuel, all into it. Not Chronicles. No. Scrubbing David. But anyway, here we are in 2 Chronicles. Let me just give you some background, okay? Because giving background, did I say Chronicles? Well, it's almost the same story in Chronicles 34. So anyway, thank you though, young lady. It's nice red hair you have there. In this moment of history in Judah, things are changing very rapidly. The northern kingdom of Israel, all their wicked kings, from Jeroboam all the way down to the last guy. They never had a good one, not a single one. They had all the prophets, almost all the prophets, because according to the people in the southern part of the nation, they were the bad guys. The Syrians came in 700 and wiped out Israel. Wiped out the city of Damascus, wiped out all the cities of northern kingdom of Israel, and took everybody into slavery. In the southern king, when that happened, southern kingdom, Hezekiah was king. Hezekiah, if you remember, was a good king. The Bible speaks about him on several good occasions. In fact, Hezekiah, you've heard of Hezekiah's tunnel that they did an engineering feat. They dug where the spring was outside the walls of Jerusalem, and they brought the water into the city so that they were ever under siege, right? That they would always have water. Smart guy, which is good because the the king of Assyria came down and put the city of Jerusalem under siege while Hezekiah was king. Hezekiah was Josiah's great-grandfather. That's why I'm telling you this story, okay? Hezekiah was a good king, and the Assyrians came, and they were going to take Jerusalem just like they took all the other cities, except for one thing. There were people in Jerusalem at that time that were still praying. And God sent one angel, just one. It's in Isaiah. This is in Isaiah and in Chronicles, and I'm sure it's in Kings too. But he sent one angel, and that angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. Probably some guy sweeping up around the throne room, and God looked over there at him and said, "Hey, before you go home, I got something for you to do." Right? Because they're angels. So the king, he didn't take. Although we have they found in the dirt a steel that says from Sennacherib, the king, he had pinned up Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. That's something, isn't it? I love it when we have other nations talking about things that happened in Jerusalem and Israel and Judah, right? So Hezekiah was a good king. He didn't get taken into Assyria, and he gave birth to the king, to the longest living, longest serving king in Judah, which was Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather. And Manasseh, according to Kings, was the worst king in Judah. The guy in Chronicles actually liked him and had him having a repentant heart and changing his ways and coming back and cleaning up the temple and cleaning out idols and taking down high places and just making amends. But the guy in Kings, he didn't make any mention of that whatsoever. No, Manasseh was horrible. Manasseh's son, Amon. So we're getting down to Josiah now. Amon was Josiah's dad, right? And they're living in Judah. The northern kingdom is gone. Assyria is at its peak before they start having civil war, and they kind of get destroyed from within in the next few years. But Amon becomes king, and he is so bad. He's so much like his grandfather Manasseh that they assassinate him. And they think that maybe, you know, they were assassinating because there was a pro-Assyrian group that wanted Judah to remain a vassal state to Assyria and be protected. And then there were other people on another political party. It's always politics, right? Another political party that wanted to go, no, we're going to break away and God's going to deliver us from Assyria, right? So, because even when Hezekiah was pinned up in the deal, they were still a vassal state to Assyria. But so anyway, they kill Amon, and then they killed all the people that killed Amon. And Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. How many eight-year-olds you know? The Bible doesn't tell us who was co-regent with him. Could have been his mom, seen that happen. But the Bible doesn't speak to it. It doesn't tell us. We know that an eight-year-old didn't rule on his own. But we know that by the time he was 12, he began to really seek the Lord with all his heart. He began to, as a preteen, he began to, as becoming a teenager, he began to put his focus on God and to turn his nation back to God. And when he was 18, while he had made arrangements for the temple to be restored, this was Solomon's temple at this time, but it had gotten desecrated. It had idols in it. It had horrendous things that happened to the belief system of the Judeans by now. But when they were doing renovations and restoration in the temple, they found a book of the law. And when they read it to Josiah, his heart was ripped in two, because they were so far away from what the law said. And we think that it was a form of Deuteronomy, not the form that you and I have it now, but an earlier version. And he said he went to the prophet. Actually, she was a prophetess. He sent word to her. Her name was Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H, Huldah. And she prayed and said, she gave this judgment on the nation, that God's going to come in because of the sins of Judah and the Judeans and remove the temple and remove the city and remove the people. But it wasn't going to happen in Josiah's life, that he would die in peace. It's really odd that it was a woman prophet, isn't it? There's not very many women prophets listed in the Old Testament. I can think of Deborah. She sat under her tree. She was a prophetess. I'm not discounting it because she's a woman. You know me. I would rather hear more about the women. I wish more women in the Bible had more voices in the Bible. They do have more words, I'm told. I haven't experienced that. So they call this whole nation of Judah into repentance, into seeing how far they've gone and how far God has called them and what has happened to them. And Josiah started doing all of these reforms. He went out into the northern part, and he started reclaiming some of Israel and tearing down the high places. And remember the two bulls that Jeroboam, the first Israel king, the first northern kingdom Israel king, he had made these idols, these calves, these bull calves, and said, and told the people, I don't want you going to the temple any longer. I want you to stay here and worship these two bulls because they are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. What does that sound like? It's like he just channeled Aaron, and we threw this gold in a fire, and out came this golden calf. That's what it was like. But you know, there was an unnamed prophet when Jeroboam did that, and he said, there will come a king named Josiah, and he will tear down these altars, and he will burn the false priest bones on these altars. And 300 years later, is exactly what Josiah did. Josiah had a zeal for God. The oddest thing to me that he corrected, not that it was odd that he corrected it, it was odd that it ever happened at all. In Jerusalem, there were temples where to worship whatever God the temple was for, you would purchase the services of a prostitute, a temple prostitute, either male or female. And he got rid of all of that. Yay, right? Doesn't that just sound foreign to you? I mean, any culture, that was a mainstay in pagan culture. But here are the people of God, the chosen people of God, acting just like the nations around them. It's no wonder Jeremiah, who was a contemporary of Josiah, said, y'all are like a bunch of rotten figs. Jeremiah had no nice things to say. But Jeremiah had a zeal because the king that he lived in the same time as had this zeal. The heart that Josiah had affected the nation. It affected the people around him because he sought God. And he sought what God wanted. One of the things that he did was they celebrated Passover. And the writer in Kings and Chronicles, I think, they said, not a Passover had been celebrated like this by the nation since the days of Joshua. Let that just sink in. The chosen people of God, that the original tablets of the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down, God had wrote himself into the stone. Those were the ones that Moses took and threw at the golden calf. But then they got a new copy and the other Mosaic law, right? And Joshua celebrated the Passover of coming out of Egypt into the promised land, and then it didn't happen again for 600 years. And it's because an 8-year-old boy who comes from a line of, let's just say, mixed hearts. His great-grandfather was good. His lineage goes all the way back to David, a man called after God's own heart, right? Grandfather, Manasseh, although he repented according to the chronicler, he reigned for 55 years, probably for 50 of those years. He was horrible. He was so horrible that his son said, I'm going to return to the horribleness because I think that if we serve pagan gods, then those gods will bless us where Jehovah is silent. Josiah's heart was for God. He lived his life and affected it. And he didn't do it alone. He included the people around him. When the law was discovered, he asked, what should we do with this? What should our actions be now that we know this? Now that we have this as our guide, what should we do? And he's a very young man at this time. He's like 18 to 20 years old. And he lived his life renewing the land, restoring the worship of Yahweh into the land that Yahweh had given his chosen people. When he was 39, well, not 39, yeah, he was 39. The Assyrians had been in a mixed battle with a civil war and between Assyrians, and one faction of Assyrians had hired the other nations to come in and help them. Nebuchadnezzar's father had come in and had taken Nineveh. And they're taking other Assyrian cities, and now they're attacking Carchemish. And Josiah sees this happening. And the Pharaoh Necho was coming up to aid the Assyrians because he saw the handwriting on the wall that if Babylon and those other nations overran Assyria, they would come down into Egypt and overrun them too. And Josiah took it upon himself to take the Judean army and to stop Pharaoh Necho from getting to Assyria and aiding them so that the Assyrians would be done away with. Pharaoh Necho stopped him. The chronicler says that the Pharaoh says, God told me that if you and I battle, you will die. Go back home and live in peace. But Josiah wouldn't listen. And he got in a battle, and just an odd arrow got him. And he was mortally wounded, and they took him back to Jerusalem. And at 39, this king whose heart had gone for God, who had been promised that he would live in peace, he died from his battle wounds in a battle he never had to fight. Zechariah, years later, 100 years later, is prophesying. And he says that judgment was coming upon Jerusalem, and that they were going to be so brokenhearted and so sad that the grief that the city bore at the death of Josiah, it would the memory of it would pass away because the new grief would be so bad. That's how strongly the nation grieved over this young king. And all of his sons were... Well, it's just like Huda said. The bell had already been rung. Josiah had made a difference for what he made a difference for. For the people who lived with Josiah, it made a difference. For the history of the kingdom of Judah, it did not. But for you and I, it leaves a wonderful story for us to look at and to learn from. Not to duplicate, not to be the next Josiah, but to be the people that we've called to be. Just like the Word said, we have our own race to run, right? But what can we learn by the lives of the people that are recorded in the Bible? And how should we live our lives to the glory of God and for the blessings of others around us? So I got three things. That good? You guys okay out there? Do you like the story of King Josiah? I just think it's terrible that he died. I just do. It just, you know where the battle was? Megiddo. Yep, the hill of Megiddo, or Megiddon. Think about that. So, the writer of Kings says this, and I had you turn there. I haven't even read any Bible yet, but here we go. The writer of Kings says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of God, and walked in the ways of his ancestor David, not deviating from it one bit to the right or to the left. There's never been a king like Josiah. All his being, whether before him or after him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his being, all his strength, and in agreement with everything in the instruction from Moses. Man, imagine that being written about you. And in your history is David and Bathsheba. Just all the kings that Judah had horrible kings too. It's the only king this is said about. There's the only king that these words are found where he turned to the Lord with all his heart. It's like the reading Deuteronomy. You'll love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your mind, and all your strength. That's what Josiah did. That's what we're called to do. Amen? I love the part where it says he didn't turn to the right or to the left. Proverbs says this, 4:27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Man. We need to change direction sometimes. You know, like when you're all stirred up and you're almost, it's almost coming out of your mouth, right? And you go, oh, I'm just going to stop my tongue from moving so I don't step into evil, right? Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. The contents of our hearts is the well that your life flows out of. So what are we putting in our hearts? I think about those words that said about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She hid these things in her heart. What are we hiding in our hearts? The psalmist wrote, I put your word in my heart that I may not sin against you, God. I put your instruction, I put your thoughts about me in my heart. I put your emotional feelings about me in my heart, God. So that when my mouth wants to run or I just can't stop myself from taking that wrong step, that your voice will speak for me from inside and give me strength. As Paul said to his spiritual son Titus, give us strength to say no to evil and to say yes to the Spirit of God. Saying no isn't just, that's only half an answer. Saying yes to the Spirit is the answer. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight, for in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make straight your paths so you don't turn to the right or to the left. Acknowledging God is like the foundational layer between our hearts. So three things, right? God, it's 11:51. Who's been preaching so long? Did worship go long? Did I talk a lot? Have I talked a long time so far? Good, because I only got three things. And Tommy, three things. Number one, seek God with your whole heart. Goes without saying, but I'm saying it. Josiah became king when he was just 8. He began seeking God at a very young age. One good woman I know got baptized in the Holy Spirit when she was 8 years old. When she was 5 and she heard about the rapture, she put a lemonade stand out in the front yard telling people, you better get right. Nobody's too young. Nobody's too old. I like the nobody's too old part. Number two, rediscovering the Word of God. I love to read the Bible. I love to read Scripture. I love it when I've read something a gazillion times, and then I read it, and it's like the first time I ever read it. When I was recovering from heart surgery, I was sleeping in the recliner in our living room one of the first few nights. I had an ESV Bible back then, English Standard Version Bible that had, it had a single column, and then it had areas for notes on either side in the margin. And I opened it to Genesis because I figured I was going to be in the chair for several weeks. I might as well just read the Bible, right? And when I read those words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, I stopped and I wept. I just looked at those words and I thought, in the beginning. Sometimes you read the Bible and it feels like you're just reading Leviticus, right? Or a genealogy, because those are always fun. And sometimes you read words that you've read over and over and over again. But there's something about the Spirit of God igniting those words on that page and drilling it into your heart in that moment. Sometimes we need to rediscover the Word of God. Can you imagine the temple that Solomon built? And hundreds of years had passed before they had unrolled the scroll of Deuteronomy. I think about the Bibles that we walk by, the ones on our nightstands, the ones in the living room. I have a whole shelf of just different versions of Bibles. In fact, in my software, I think I have 1,500 Bibles. But quantity is not quality. You know what the best version of the Bible you can have? The one you read. Ask the Spirit of God to say, light a fire in my bones, God. Just like he did Jeremiah. It feels like God is like fire in my bones. He said his word is like a hammer. Not to beat somebody over the head, but to break up the rocks and the boulders that are trying to block your path from following after God. Number three, living a life that shows the word Christ lives in you. Josiah didn't just keep it to himself. He gathered people. He got people to help. He destroyed the enemy's altars. He changed his nation. My age, I can't even remember 39. Maybe a few things. This guy did more in his short life. And he did it because he set his heart to seek God. He saw the history of King Saul, where he just sought just to stay in favor with the people. He saw King David, how he sought to stay in favor with God. He saw his great-grandfather, Hezekiah, how he sought God, how he trusted the word of his prophets. When Isaiah spoke to him and said, God will stick a hook into the nose of the king of Assyria and drag him back to his own nation where he'll die. He saw the mistakes of his grandfather in the short reign of his father. And he determined that he would make a difference. He determined that with his whole heart, he would seek God. So as we close out the contents of the heart, we set our hearts to seek him. Let's all stand. Father, we stand before you together. Lord, we ask you to put a desire inside of all of us, in every one of us, to seek you with our whole heart. And don't let things distract us. We say no to those things, and we just focus on who you are and who you are to us and what you do in us and what you want to do to others. Father, make the word central in our lives. Bring it to life. We live not by bread, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. And Father, let us live our lives with a heart full of you so that people around us see Christ and not us. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says, amen.